I want to leave the verse 22 of Matthew chapter 27 before your heart and your attention tonight. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? That is the question that has to be answered in the light of the production Jesus Christ Superstar. That's the question that you will have to answer tonight ere you leave this house. With the Word of God open before us, can we seek the Lord's face, please? Word of prayer. O God, we stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned and unclean. We praise Thee, Lord, tonight that Thou didst ever love sinful mankind. Thy love was shown and Thou didst give Thine only begotten Son. We thank Thee tonight for His obedience. Not only in leaving God's heaven, but Lord, His obedience in ascending Golgotha's brow, and there taking our place on that old Roman gibbet, and dying in the sinner's guilty room instead. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight for the victorious cry of the cross. It is finished. O God, tonight we bless Thee for a completed work of redemption and for a risen Savior, one who is in the very courts of heaven this evening. We ask that Thou wouldst shut us in with Thyself just now. We ask, Lord, that Thou wouldst burn even this text upon every heart. Even, Lord, as we give an examination and exposure of this blasphemous production. O God, we pray that we would know Thy help tonight. To this end, I pray that Thou wouldst give us, Lord, the receptive heart and the listening ear. Give me, Lord, that enduement of power of the Holy Ghost. For, Lord, with no desire this evening to preach with enticing words of man's wisdom. Oh, help us to preach in the power, demonstration of the Spirit of the living God. We would, Lord, with compassion, preach unto the ignorant and those that are out of the way. And Lord, even, Lord, as a result of this meeting, we pray, Lord, that the devil would be defeated afresh and that Christ's kingdom would be extended. Hear our prayer. Abide with us now. Help us to uplift Christ. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. On Wednesday night past, the 14th of January, saw the opening performance and Northern Ireland amateur premiere of the musical Jesus Christ Superstar taking place in the Riverside Theatre in Coleraine. As a denomination, we have consistently protested against such ever since its first inception and ever since it was first seen on the stages of this world. And Wednesday night past was no exception, for as a church we were found to stand against it. And the question that may be asked is this: well, why as a church do we feel it necessary to take such action? For I firmly believe that there are many who do not fully understand what this production is all about. And I include in that professing believers as well as the ungodly. This musical has been sold, it has been promoted as the jewel in the crown of musical theatre. And the drama group are proud to have been chosen to put on the Northern Ireland amateur premiere of this show. It may surprise you to know who the actual drama group are. They are Ballywillan Drama Group. And I quote from their website, a church-based drama organization located in Portrush. It is a part of Holy Trinity Church. It is named after the parish of Ballywillan that the church serves. It was originally started in 1952 as a way of providing the youth of the parish with something to occupy their winter months and to raise some money for the Sunday school. End of quote. A church-based drama organization. I also am led to understand that the president of that drama group is none other than a Reverend George Graham. And when we consider these facts, then we are brought to consider afresh what happens when a church forsakes the word of the living God. They end up presenting a show which portrays not the Christ of the Scriptures, but another Christ. And they do it in good conscience, not only believing that they are doing the young people a great service, but they're also helping to fund the activities in the church itself. The 30 pieces of silver that we read of in the opening part of Matthew chapter 27 comes to mind. That was the price that Judas received for betraying the Lord. Pilate, of whom we have read of in these verses, like the audiences in this drama production or before this musical opera, are presented, and as he was presented, with a false Christ. There were those who bore false witness against him, and they bound the Christ, and they brought the Christ of God to stand before him, considering him to be a malefactor. The words of John chapter 18 and verse 30 say this: they answered and said unto him that is unto Pilate, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. And we see him stand before Pilate in this passage in which we have read. But who really is Jesus Christ? Or as Pilate asks in this verse 22, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? For my friend tonight, those are the questions that confront us. And those are the questions that must be answered as this musical production is held up in the light of the Scriptures of truth. Who really is Jesus Christ? What shall you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? I want to draw your attention, first of all, to the background to the production. When we consider this musical and drama production of Jesus Christ Superstar, I want you to understand that it is something that is not new. For this opera has first made its debut in a New York theater in October 1971. So it's over 30 years in the go. And when we look behind the scenes, for there is always behind the scenes in a drama production, and when we look behind its scenes, we must give consideration to those who gave birth to this thing. There are two men in question. One of them is accredited with writing the drama, that is, Tim Rice, while his counterpart, Andrew Lloyd Webber, was to put the music to it. Both of them are Englishmen, and both of them are of the Anglican Communion. They belong to the Church of England. This production is but one of many that they have written and seen performed throughout the world. But in seeking to understand what Jesus Christ Superstar is all about, then we must give consideration to what these composers believe themselves. And let's remember something. Let's remember that the grounds for such a production where they are concerned is solely only for fame and for fortune. But how do they look upon Jesus Christ? How do they think upon the Lord Jesus Christ? It was Tim Rice who said concerning the Lord, and I quote, "For me, Christ was just a super prophet, a fantastic man who made a big mark on his time, and we don't really know all that much about him. I think as the years roll on in the 20th and 21st centuries, I think less and less people are going to think of Christ as a God. I don't see him as a God at all. And the opera doesn't categorically say he wasn't, but I think it leaves the question very open." End of quote. It is an assessment, it is a verdict of Christ that Lloyd Webber also concurs with. And that being the belief of these composers themselves, then one already has a fair idea of what sort of production that they would produce. Just a super prophet. Not really God. But what about the message that these men want to portray through this musical opera? They certainly do not want to present the Christ of the Scriptures to the hearts of men and women. And that is proven by words spoken in that same interview that I have just quoted from. For I quote again, they said, basically the idea of the whole opera is to have Christ seen through the eyes of Judas, and Christ as a man, not as a God. Christ is not a God. He is the God. But this opera presents Christ through the eyes of Judas Iscariot, not as a God, but as a man. The opera is supposedly about the last 7 days of the life of Christ before his crucifixion. But it cannot be an accurate account. For as the composers themselves admit, it is seen through the eyes of Judas. And let's ask ourselves the question tonight, who is Judas? Who was Judas? Not only was he the one who should betray the Lord, but the Savior himself was to say in John chapter 6 and verse 70, Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" In John 13 verse 27 we read that Satan entered into him. And so this whole opera, performed by a so-called church-based drama organization, is about Christ as he is seen through the eyes of the devil. For Judas was an instrument in the hands of Satan, and the devil is never a reliable witness of anything. Never mind being a reliable witness of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We remind ourselves of what the Lord said in John 8 and verse 44 concerning the devil. "There is no truth in him," he said. "When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So let's be clear on this. People are paying to see a production which has the flavoring of the devil upon it, not only in its origin, but also in the very message that its composers seek to betray. And you know the whole ironic thing about it is this, they call that entertainment. That's supposed to be entertainment. I think it speaks more of the depravity of man. We have looked at the man, we have looked at the message. What about the music? Well, it is classified as a rock opera by the composers themselves. Many parts of the opera have an overpowering beat, and it's fast and it's furious in its repetition. And the very fact that they admit it to being rock, that should be enough in itself for any God-fearing man or woman to stay away from it. For the rock music industry of this world is synonymous in the most part with an obsession with drugs and sex and immorality. And those things are against the very message of the gospel. very opposite to the message of the gospel. Can I say in this world of easy believism and pragmatic approaches to getting people into churches these days, surely the very concept of rock music has no place in the worship of a holy God. No place. Nor is it conducive to spreading the message of the gospel of saving grace. And churches which use such methods are only but aping the world. As they bring in their drum kits, and as they have their rock-type music and their services, only to attract people into the church. Are we not in those days when the apostle wrote about, people shall not endure sound doctrine, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Neither is rock music a suitable vehicle to present any message about the life, the work, or the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, as it has done so in this very opera. Ah, dear soul, tonight, instead of looking at Jesus Christ superstar, I would that you would consider the Christ of the Scriptures. His background was one of going about doing that which was good, of healing all who were oppressed of the devil. His very purpose in coming to this world was to destroy the works of the devil and to seek and to see of that which is lost. He preached as one who had authority. His message was repent and believe the gospel. Sinner must turn from their sin. They must receive Him who is the only Savior of that world, of this world. And that message which can set the sinner free and whereby they can know tonight forgiveness of sins is through faith in Christ and the finished work of God's redemption on Calvary's cross. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now let me ask you tonight, what then shall you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? See the background of the production. Then let me further bring you a little more to consider the blasphemy that is promoted. When we move from backstage, as it were, we must now investigate something of the content of the opera itself. And as I do so, I believe it will be made clear why such a production is so offensive and so objectionable to the people of God. And I notice that the drama group's producer, Brian Logan, he has said this: we are in the business of putting on entertaining musicals that all the family can enjoy. We do not intend or want to cause offense. End of quote. Well, I hope Mr. Logan gets a copy of this message tonight, for I desire to spell out to him, I desire to spell out to all, why offense is caused to the heart of the child of God. Jesus Christ Superstar is a continuous blasphemy. And so as we're clear on what that really means, for I don't want any of you to get lost in this, blasphemy is to show contempt or disrespect for God. It is to speak irreverently of God or things sacred. That's what it is to blaspheme. And that is what the lyrics of this musical are doing, as they present a distortion of the work and the life and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to consider with me the blasphemy concerning the deity of Christ. We've already quoted what Rice and Weber think concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not look upon Him as God. They do not look upon even Him as a God, but as a man. And that is the manner in which the production is set. And alongside that, in the very first song, there are the lyrics which speak of a famous son of Nazareth who should have stayed unknown, like, and I quote, his father carving wood. The Lord Jesus Christ is not only depicted as being a just a man, but even his virgin birth is under attack. For Joseph, whose trade was carpentry, was not the father of Christ. He was virgin born, conceived of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and that was so because Christ was the sinless and spotless Lamb of God. He had not the taint of man's fallen nature upon him. Joseph had nothing to do with his conception or his birth. He was God manifest in the flesh. He was God who made himself of no reputation but took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. He was no ordinary man as the composers might have us to think and believe, but rather he was the blessed God-man, the one whom of whom Thomas would say, "My Lord and my God." As God, his words were oracles and his works were miracles. There never was a time when Christ could not meet the need of the people. But yet one of the lyrics says this, and I quote again, "There's too many of you, don't push me. There's too little of me, don't crowd me. Heal yourselves." That is a scurrilous accusation to suggest that Christ was powerless. There was never and has never been too many persons seeking Christ. And God's word reminds me that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You're unsaved in this meeting tonight, and you see your need of Christ, and you recognize that you're a sinner, and you desire to seek the Lord. I want to tell you tonight, he'll not cast you out. And I say that on the authority of God's word. His power is not diminished, and neither is he impotent, as these lyrics would suggest to us, that he cannot help poor needy sinners, and to suggest otherwise is utter blasphemy. There's the blasphemy concerning his deity. And what about the blasphemy regarding the knowledge of Christ? It was Tim Rice who, in an official recorded interview about the opera, was to say this: "The fact that Christ himself is just as mixed up and unaware of exactly who he is as Judas is." End of quote. And that in essence is what the opera is teaching. A mixed up, a confused Christ whose state is likened to that of Judas Iscariot, whom the devil entered into. That is exactly what the devil would have us to believe. "For the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." The devil tonight does not want you, dear soul, to see Christ. And as he is presented in the scriptures. "For the Lord Jesus Christ is God, and in him is all wisdom and all knowledge." And the doctrinal term for that is, he is omniscient. He is simply all-knowing. Rather than confused as to who he was or what he was meant to do, the very opposite was the case. For the Word of God reminds us in Luke chapter 9 and verse 51 that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, for he came to this earth to do the will of his Father who had sent him and to finish his work. And that meant men and women going to the work of the cross. That man going to the cross of Calvary and there laying down his life in an old Roman tree, not as a superstar, but as a savior of this world. From his earliest days, the purpose of his coming was evident. For at his birth, the angels instructed Joseph, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." At the age of 12, he stood in the temple, and there he reasoned and questioned the doctors. And we read in Luke 2 and verse 47, "And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. He was about his father's business." Tell me, does that show you, does that depict a Christ who is confused? Standing before Pilate, as we have him even in John's account of it, his words revealed to us that he knew why he had come and what he was to do. John chapter 18, in the words of verse 37, we read this. "Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause come I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." An attack on the wisdom, an attack on the understanding and knowledge of Christ is blasphemous. That's what the lyrics of this thing do. Something which is no less offensive is the attack on the purity of Christ. You see, in this Jesus Christ superstar, what Brian Logan suggests to be something that you could bring the whole family to, the Lord has cast an essential role as Mary Magdalene's lover. And if that wasn't bad enough, the lyrics strongly suggest through the lips of the acted Christ that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. Listen to some words which come from her lips. "I don't know how to love him, what to do, how to move him. He's just a man. He's just a man. And I've had so many men before. In very many ways, he's just one more." The very thought of implied immorality of Christ is repulsive to my heart. It's deeply offensive to the Christian. I feel we're wallowing in the very filth of hell tonight when I quote those words. Nowhere in the Scriptures are we taught that Mary was a prostitute. We're only told that out of her the Lord was to cast 7 devils. And it's not the business of man to add to the Scriptures. Here are words and suggestions which are from the very pit of hell. For it is the devil's work to discredit and to pervert the sinless person and the perfect work of the Savior. You see, Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26 reminds us, "For such an holy priest became us who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." And throughout the Word of God, we are repeatedly told that he had no sin. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." 1 Peter 2 and 22, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." 1 John 3 and verse 5, "In him is no sin." Because he was sinless then, that meant that he could satisfy the demands of a holy and just and broken law of God so that he could save his people from their sins. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He was that perfect Lamb which came to bear the way the sin of the world and held up before the light of God's Word tonight. Here is a drama production which promotes utter blasphemy. My Savior is pure. Sinless, spotless Lamb of God. In him was no sin, and he couldn't sin. For he is God manifest in the flesh. And that is repulsive to me. That is offensive. That's why I stand against this. Let me ask you tonight, you who have been presented with the Christ of the Scriptures, as he has been freely offered to you in the gospel, in his deity, in his wisdom, and in his purity, do you know my Savior? Do you know him as Savior and Lord? Have you received him as such yet? Or let me ask you, are you still believing the devil's lies? I don't have the production team before me tonight. But I may have one before me in this service who's just as dark and just as blind to who Christ really is. You're still believing the devil's lies. Let me bring you to consider finally the blessed person of Christ. I don't want to wallow in that anymore. I want you to behold the Lamb. We have but touched on some of the glaring points of this drama which are offensive to the believer, and there are many other parts which could be named. I haven't even touched on the very title itself. Jesus Christ Superstar. The Lord Jesus Christ never had the status of a superstar. But in the light of the facts already given, the hearer, and especially the one who is without God's salvation, in many ways, you are faced tonight with what Pilate was faced with. For as the Christ of God stood before him, Pilate is heard to say in verse 22, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" You see his dilemma. He had a choice to make. Was he going to accept what his heart was telling him, that in this man there was no fault to be found, and he says much? For if you look at John chapter 18 verse 38, and chapter 19 verse 4, and chapter 19 verse 6, three times over you will see in those verses, therefore Pilate says this, "I find no fault in him." Christ was an innocent man, and Pilate knew that. But would he go the way of his heart, or would he go the way of the crowd? Would he dismiss him as a mere man who, according to them, was guilty of sins that needed to be punished? Would Pilate look upon him as one who was confused and all ready to indulge in sin? That same dilemma is before the hearts and the minds of people to this day, and especially in the light of this sinful production. Will you accept the Christ of God as he is presented to you in the gospel, as he is presented to you in the scriptures of truth, a Christ who came into this world to save sinners? One who has been given the name Jesus, for it means Savior. And given a name that is above every other name. And let me remind you tonight, dear soul, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. on whose sinless and imperfect obedience was to go to the cross of Calvary, where He would shed His precious blood, where He would die as a sinner's substitute, so that you, guilty sinner, might be saved and might go free. Is that the Christ that you believe in tonight? Or will you reject the Word of God, and will you again reject the Christ of God, and instead embrace the Christ of this sinful production offered on the stages of this world? There's a dilemma. Then consider also Pilate's decision. For although he sought to wash his hands of the matter, and although he had been warned of his wife to have nothing to do with that just man in judgment, yet Pilate chose the pathway of popularity, and he delivered him to be crucified. He wanted to be popular with the crowd, and he wanted to be popular with Caesar. And so the Savior was delivered into the hands of the cruel and wicked men who were to make an ignorant spectacle out of him. What's going to be your decision at the close of this meeting? What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ? For decide you must. A decision you have to make. Either this book, God's Word, is truth, as it presents the Christ of God to your heart, as the Savior of the only Savior of lost and sinful mankind, the only way to God's heaven. For He has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Or else you will decide to follow the popular way of the world, as it is presented in this production. A Christ who is just another man. A Christ who is not God. One who is sinful. One who is confused. Just one who is the butt of entertainment and an ignorant spectacle to look upon. That's going to be your decision tonight. Receive Him or reject Him. Dear soul, I want to consider Pilate's destiny. I bring you forward in time to the last scene. To when the curtain is drawn on the stage of this world, and the encore is before the great judge of all the earth, and all who ever trod the boards of this world will come before Him. The kings and the princes, the rich and the poor, the drama groups and those who supported it, the audiences as well as those who held a supporting role, and those who have sat in many a gospel service just like this. You'll all be there. And I want to show you who you'll be sitting before. Who is the judge? John 5 verse 22 says, For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Lord Jesus Christ is the judge who sits upon His throne. And all will stand before Him. And all will hear their destiny, and that for all eternity. And for Pilate who put Christ to death, and for Pilate who rejected His glorious person in the place of the popularity of the crowd, and who said, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? For Pilate, he shall be shown the lake which burneth with fire, and the verdict and the destiny will be declared by the Savior Himself. Depart from me, ye cursed. into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and for his angels. And what is the sentence of Pilate? Will also be the sentence of all who reject God's offer of salvation. As he was presented and freely offered to you in the message of the gospel. And as God's salvation was brought to your heart in the person and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh dear soul, tonight, the final scene. The final scene, even in that old sinful production in Coleraine, finds Jesus Christ in the tomb. There's even a denial of his bodily resurrection. But I tell you tonight, and I uplift you, uplift the one before you tonight, who arose again from the dead, one who is alive forevermore, one who is seated on the Father's right hand, and listen, one who is coming again, and who will be the judge of all the earth. One tonight who is ready and willing to save all, who are willing to come unto Him, to come unto God by Him. I uplift the Savior before your heart and soul this evening. Now what shall you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? For neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart may be asking, what will He do with me? That's the final scene. And I invite you, in light of that, I invite you now to look not to Jesus Christ Superstar, but I invite you to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, as your Savior, as your Lord, and as your King. Will you come tonight and be saved? God help you to do so. What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, please. We're not going to sing a closing hymn tonight. Just going to close in prayer. I wonder, is there one who is troubled this evening? For in many ways, dear soul, without Christ, you're no different than the darkest soul that goes to see this production. You need to realize that you're a sinner. You need to realize that there is only one Savior who really saves. One who can pardon your sin tonight. One who is ready and willing to save your precious soul. I wonder, could the words of that hymn be said of you this evening? Jesus, I give Thee my heart tonight. Jesus, I'll follow Thee all the way. Gladly obeying Him, will you say this? Will I do with Jesus? Want a word with us? I'll be here afterwards. Open up the Word of God to your heart. Point you in the way of God's salvation. Oh, don't leave until you get right with God. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy help, Thy presence in the meeting tonight. We praise Thee tonight for a risen Christ. We thank Thee, Lord, for He who is altogether lovely. The very darling of the Father's bosom. The lily of the valley and the bright and morning star. O God, we thank Thee this evening for the one who bears the mark of my redemption. And I pray, Lord, in closing, that Thou wouldst burn even this text upon the heart. What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Be pleased to speak, Lord, to the needy soul in the service this evening, in the closing seconds of it. Thou wouldst give them deciding grace to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, to have done with sin, and to go home saved and washed in the Savior's blood. Hear this, our prayer. Speak on when the preacher's voice is silent. Dismiss us with thy blessing and thy fear. Spread now thy covering wings around, till all our wanderings cease, that our fathers loved the boat. One day may all our souls arrive in peace. We pray in Jesus' precious name for God's eternal glory. Amen.